The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy, our new weekly Gaelic football show.
Lads, it's official, right? No GAA player was practicing tackling at all during lockdown. They were practicing that dummy bounce.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Yeah, and you're very welcome back to Thursday Night's Off the Ball. It's Richie McCormack here with you right through until 10 p.m. Lots still to come on the show tonight. As we mentioned, the managerial merry-go-round turning at pace in Italy. Nicky Bandini will join us on the line to discuss the latest goings-on. Conte's gone at Inter. Possibly Simone Inzaghi is going to replace him there. Also, we're seeing this week that there's going to be a change at Juventus with Max Allegri heading back in the door at the expense of Andrea Pirlo. Plus, we'll look at Tottenham and whether or not Mauricio Pochettino is going to be going back to Spurs and what that could mean for Harry Kane and for the Republic of Ireland's own Matt Doherty. But from North London, we go off to Indianapolis because it's time to catch up with somebody who's had a very interesting journey over the course of the last decade, from Connacht rugby and Galway and all that kind of stuff to kicking in American football in the Spring League. Tig Leader, come in.
How's it going? How are you? Cheers for having me.
You're very welcome. Listen, we were talking in the news round about how Naomi Osaka may or may not be doing press conferences straight after her French Open matches in the next couple of weeks. And here we are talking to somebody on the day of a game. We're finding ourselves in a very, very fortunate position, Tig.
Yeah, it's actually mad. We're playing locally here at 10 p.m. tonight. So I've been told to be prepared to be in the stadium playing until 1:30, near 2 in the morning. So yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. But chatting to you lads is good. Helps me pass the day. It's a long old day.
Actually, look, if we're helping you pass the day and getting on with the game, then that's probably a good thing. We could be forever telling you about how you're getting on or how you got to Indianapolis and the Aviators over there in the Spring League. But how has it been? Because even just going through the roster, if you're to pick through your teammates there at the Aviators, you're seeing people from Boston, from Missouri, from Minneapolis, from pretty much all over the map in terms of the United States, and sticking out like a sore thumb with just Ireland beside the name is you. What's it like to be in such a, I'm not going to say a league of nations, but to be from playing in a team that's from such a diverse background, given your background yourself, playing with people from the locality?
Yeah, it's mad. Some of the lads, I don't think they didn't have a clue where Ireland even was when I introduced myself on the first day, let alone when I said my name's Tig. So I'm just, the nickname's Tiger now, so they're all just calling me that. It's making life easier. But being in this environment, it's I'm still wrapping my head around it. I'm probably 5 weeks into this now. I didn't really know what to expect, having never played football, let alone, I think just this morning, we just had a little walkthrough and, you know, half our defense has already played in the NFL. So I'm rubbing shoulders with, as you said, lads from all over the country, but lads with, top end experience. So I'm just trying to soak it all up. But thankfully, being the kicker, you know, we've limited enough things we need to know. There's no playbook for us. Just kind of kick it long and straight and everyone be happy enough with that.
It's a remarkable journey. You started off from a very steeped in, you know, rugby family. You know, your dad was involved with Galwegians, your brother's obviously involved with Connacht as well, Dara most recently. It's been, you know, quite the journey. You managed to break the breakthrough at Connacht, but ultimately injuries kind of took their toll.
Unreal time kind of going through the Connacht and the underage system there back home. As so many lads, kind of injuries happen. But thankfully for me, you know, on the back of that, I kind of, you know, broadened my horizon a little bit and gave me the chance to go to do something new. And that was initially I played out in Italy, signed for an Italian team, was there for a bit. Unfortunately, injuries followed me there. But through that injury, I ended up getting my shoulder reconstructed. And then that allowed me, I was going to be out of the game for at least a year with that. So that allowed me to move to the States to study. So that was 2016, I think, and moved to study. And since then, kind of professional rugby's taken off in the States. Got a bit involved with the US men's Eagles, the national team, and COVID hit, and then football opened up. So yeah, it's been a mad journey, wild one, but unreal experiences though that come with that. So I'm just happy to be kind of, you know, just seeing where this takes me.
Is that a family thing? Is that like, are the Leader clan a kind of an outward looking group that they would go and seek opportunities wherever they might come? Or were you the kind of lone wolf who decided to head off and forge his own path?
No, I think it's in the family. I know mum, she's from Loughrea in Galway. I know she left when she was like 18 and moved abroad to London on her own and just figured it out. So I know it's been in the blood in that regard. And funnily enough, you mentioned Dara there. He unfortunately had to retire there last year due to injury, but he's out here in the States now at Clemson University coaching rugby and doing his master's. So no, I think we've been pretty good just to kind of pack our bags and see where it takes us. And yeah, since moving to the States, just more and more doors have kind of kept on opening through sport or education. So why not take advantage of them when I can? I'll be a long time retired.
Exactly. The move to America in the first place, because you know, you were playing in Boston, you're studying and stuff like that, and you were basically almost kicked off a team because you were overly qualified, because you'd played on a professional level. So they thought, yeah, listen, mate, you're almost a ring. We're kind of thinking of the professional baseball players who come in and play for Mr. Burns' team in The Simpsons. You were almost like that kind of figure.
Fair play, you've done your research, yeah. So that's kind of, that happened there. But then again, kind of continuing with that team. Well, basically with that, it's just in American sports, is a scholarship system and the fact that kind of rules and regulations. So unfortunately, due to my background playing back home there, and in Italy, I was deemed ineligible to play collegiate sports. But that opened up, you know, again, wasn't ideal, but I ended up getting into coaching. And I loved that. And also, at that same time, you know, I had more time on my hands than I expected. So I ended up doing some actually sports agency work, which was quite cool because I was doing my sports management degree. And funnily enough, one of the first players I worked with and sent over to Europe, he actually just won a Heineken Cup medal at the weekend. So pretty random how he was 17 at the time and went to Toulouse. And but anyway, through rugby, one door closed in that regard, but then coaching and the agency thing opened up. And then I guess I've been fortunate when one door is closed, just I've got lucky to a degree that another opportunity has opened, and then just trying to kind of put your head down and just make the best out of it.
What's working in sports agency like?
Oh, tough. Yeah. Hard to know what to believe at times, to be honest with you. Because I've been through it as a player, so it's quite interesting to actually get a little bit of a look at it, vantage point from the kind of inside.
Yeah.
Trying to be, I think, the best agents, you want them to be as honest with you as possible versus kind of selling you something that might necessarily be happening. So that was something that I tried to kind of pride myself on when I was doing that. But yeah, really interesting. And I worked with a few Irish guys actually that ended up going out to Zebre, a guy Kieran Gaffney from Galway and Rory Prater, another Irish lad. So it was cool, really good experiences. It just happened purely random, pure random on the back of being ineligible to play college rugby. So I had more time on my hands, and America's full of talented players and athletes, but they didn't necessarily have the connections to go overseas. So yeah, I got to connect the dots for a little bit there before Major League Rugby came along. So I had to hang up my agency boots and jump back into playing professionally.
It is something that's building there, though, kind of slowly and steadily. The Major League Rugby thing, I guess they've learned a couple of lessons from how they managed to build soccer, managed to build that product over there and essentially sell it as a product and make it something that can be identifiable to the public. And they seem to be doing a better job from the outside looking in. I don't know what you made of it.
Yeah, it's definitely... it's growing. There's still, you know, being on the inside, there's obviously a lot of things that still need to be, a lot of work to be done in terms of, if you want to compare it, at least from the athletes, the players' point of view, to what you'd expect back there being in the provinces. But, you know, there's always going to be growing pains. But then from the, you know, just the product itself on the pitch, it's getting better. The likes of Matt Giddo and stuff are all over here playing. Bastero was here last year. So some big names out here. And then I think fans are definitely, I think it's just about exposing them to the sport, because, you know, they all love football. Like everyone here loves football. So just the idea of, you know, rugby being constant is not, as I'm learning here, these games is constant stop start, timeouts all the time. So it's just, so the game itself, you know, takes so long, there's no kind of fluidity to it. So I think with the rugby, that is something a lot of the American fans, when they actually watch it for the first time, alongside, you know, getting the contact, and they love the scrums and lineouts, but just the constant pace and the hitting that comes with it. So I do think, you know, there's definitely good infrastructure in place now to keep building upon it. But I think it still has a long way to go to, you know, be a top league. But it's going in the right direction.
From an American point of view, does it benefit or is it hurt by those comparisons with American football?
I think it's it. you can kind of like draw certain parallels in terms of explaining it initially. You know, everyone talks about the contact element, which kind of draws people in. You talk about not wearing pads. So then, as I hear all the time, you know, American people would see rugby and they go, oh, you guys are crazy, you know, because they're used to seeing guys in pads running into each other. So you get that. Granted, I've never been a big fan of all the contact playing 10, but, you know, they do love that point of view. I think it's easier to understand. One thing you're going to see a lot now on the back of football, that is, but one thing is, you know, sevens is quite decent here. Sure. The US national team does quite well. So, you know, that's an easier form of the game to digest and understand what's actually happening. But, and a lot of crossover athletes are happening now. So, no, I think there's pros and cons, but I find it easier to kind of maybe explain the game a little bit, at least initially, what rugby is kind of about. You do rely on some of those football things, but obviously there's a lot more detail beyond that.
Of course, yeah. Like, you ended up like playing for the USA Eagles. That had to have been something of a bizarre experience. Seemed to have been something that I guess was almost thrown at you rather than you kind of sought out.
Yeah, so initially I was aware because AJ McGinty, he was an Irish player, moved over to study in the States, and he went to, I think, 2015 World Cup, and he like had an unreal tournament, and then went on to, you know, play for Connacht and won the Pro 12 at the time. So I was aware of what he did, but once I got over, so I knew there was a potential pathway. But once I got over here and was deemed ineligible to play college rugby, you know, I wasn't playing rugby at all then. Well, I was playing a local D3 men's team who I was also coaching. So I wasn't playing rugby. So there's like 2 years there where I, as I said, was doing the coaching stuff and the agency stuff and just enjoying rugby, but not from a playing point of view, because obviously the level wasn't great. But really fun. I had great crack doing that. We won a national championship with that team and a lot of fun doing that. But level of play wasn't great. So when Major League Rugby came along, I kind of was assigned for San Diego and was kind of back on the horse a little bit then, and, you know, back into full-time rugby. But then I had to become eligible with World Rugby, and that wasn't a straightforward process. It was kind of back and forth quite a while with paperwork and documentation and, you know, under the three-year rule. So that wasn't easy. And I actually, the first time, near the end of this process, Ireland were actually playing against the Eagles in Dublin, probably late 2018. So that was my first experience with the Eagles. Although I wasn't, you know, fully eligible yet, they flew me over for that game, and I was with the team for that week and the lead up to the game. So that was very cool to be part of that, let alone against Ireland. So that was a great experience. And then, yeah, fast forward a month or two after that, I became eligible, and I was coming off the bench playing against Chile down in South America. So It was all. Yeah, I didn't even know they had a rugby team, to be honest with you. So it was all a bit random how quickly it all happened. But again, like, I think next week we had Argentina again down there, like the Argentina A team, and so those experiences, like, unreal, amazing. It's amazing. The idea of leaving rugby, which I unfortunately had to do, but to pursue this, but having at least kind of got those experiences of playing at that level. Obviously, would like more of it, but, you know, things happen. I've been, as I mentioned already, now I've just kind of pivoted it when certain doors open. But yeah, playing international rugby with the Eagles was class, and there's quite a good Irish contingent on the team as well. So,
of course, yeah,
by med life easier, adjust to that.
It's got to be a bizarre experience nonetheless, though, to be warming up at the Aviva Stadium and you're almost wearing the wrong colours in so many words.
Yeah, and I know a few of the lads I know, they're in Finlay, and there's a few lads are playing for Ireland that day, and Richie Murphy, he's the Ireland kicking coach, I believe, or skills. Remember, he looked at me he looked at me kind of like, what are you doing? Because I would have crossed paths over the years, and he's kind of, what are you doing here with the US? So I did have that, and one or two people in the stand actually that I knew, you know, they had no clue I was with the Eagles team, and just shouting at me and heading over to them and them asking what's going on, and me not really having a great answer, just kind of
shrugging yourself.
Three or four days ago I was in class in St. Louis, Missouri, and I got a call to get on, you know, get to the airport as quick as possible, and then over I went to Dublin. So yeah, it was all a bit mad, but again, like, what a class, and unreal to have had those experiences.
Of course, yeah. Did you have any input or any conversations with Luke Carty, who we saw this week being named in a, I guess, a developmental squad for the United States? Like, I know you came up with Jack around the same time as him. Did you manage to have any conversations with him and describe to him what the situation is like over there, or are you letting him play his own furrow?
Actually, so for the last, since he came over and he's been doing very well for LA, I've been obviously in this full-time football environment, so I haven't really been, I haven't chatted to many of the lads at all, to be honest. But it's good, it's fair play to him. I think he'll do well, especially getting into the squad at a good young age. If his anthematic could have changed, it would have been nicer probably, you know, to get in when you're in your early 20s versus your late 20s. But yeah. I'm sure he'll do well, and yeah, be looking for, like, and he's out there. There's a few Irish lads out there in LA playing in the Major League Rugby and having a, judging by their Instagram, they're having a great old time.
How did you get noticed kicking balls by people who are involved in American football? Because, like, it's one thing to be an out half, and as you mentioned there, there's a, you know, a lot of processes involved in kicking, and it's, you know, it's a very different, I guess, discipline, because there's a lot of curve involved in the ball and there's a lot of kicking from different positions, whereas American football is a little bit more straightforward. Were you just booting a ball and somebody put their, you know, hand to their chin and went, maybe this guy could work in American football? Or was it a little bit more complicated than that?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't much more complicated than that. I'd been advised, you know, to give it a go. But this is when I was playing rugby, you know, I was playing Major League Rugby, was about to get caps and stuff like that, so everything was great. So I wasn't even looking into it. But then, kind of when COVID hit, I honestly just went to scratch the itch because people had told me to do it. So I just went down and kicked some footballs at a local high school in Boston, and had all my steps all wrong. I had all these rugby steps, which is very different to football. Didn't really know what I was doing, but I was able to hit them pretty well. And again, I didn't really know how good it was, but it was quite a funny experience, because typically here at the high schools, you have a running track as well on the outside. And there's people heading around the running track, and they stopped their walking or running, came over and just watching me kick and standing there asking questions. And, you know, by the end of it, there was a decent amount of people just watching me kick there. And then I thought, oh, maybe there is more to this than, you know, maybe I'm better than probably I thought it was, or I didn't really know the level, to be honest with you. Yeah. So I didn't know what I was doing was that, where that stacked up against, you know, good guys. So that's just how it started. And then I just kept exploring it, looking into it. There's a kicking coach out in San Diego. He kicked in the NFL for 23 years. So I said, you know what, I'll go out there and meet him. So just pack my bags, go up to San Diego, train there for a week. And he trains a lot of the current NFL guys. So I was kicking with a lot of them and the free agents meaning guys that aren't signed, but they're kind of around that level. And stacked up pretty well. And that was only back in late November. So then basically the month of December, and the feedback was there's definitely enough ability there to give this a go. So then in December, I had to make the decision, am I going playing rugby, or am I going to give this football stuff a crack? And I just thought, you know, if not now, never, I'll never get the opportunity again to do this. So then I moved up to San Diego in January full time. And then the last 6-8 weeks I've been in this spring league playing. So that's kind of how all that transpired.
Yeah, that kind of coaching, that kind of one-on-one, especially expertise from people who've worked in the NFL, that usually doesn't come cheap.
No, it does not. Or renting an apartment in San Diego for 2 or 3 months and all that crap. So no, it does not. But I guess I just thought of it, you know, as an investment in myself. And it's, you know, if this works out, it'll be fantastic. Even if it does, if it doesn't, I've still had these unreal and amazing experiences. But I still think there's a good road ahead for me. But yeah, the American coaches and the cost that comes with playing sport here until you're in the professional level is hard to fathom.
That's not just like from the coaching point of view; like it's costly kind of across the board.
Well, the coaching. One of the coaches was charging like $1,200 for a session, so that's like expensive. But then, yeah, just all the stuff that comes with that. In terms of, yeah, like, well, the good thing is a lot of the stuff we do initially, from a kicking perspective, thankfully we don't always have to wear the pads and the helmet and all that kind of stuff. At least initially, when they're assessing you as kickers, you're playing Gaelic football. You're just in your shorts and your t-shirt, so that's grand. But yeah, my first time putting on helmets and pads was you know, the week of my first game. So that was a different experience. It's kind of, the helmet reminded me a bit of hurling, but there's nothing to compare to wearing these massive pads on your shoulder.
My without wanting to make the comparison, my littlest lad, when he got his first hurling helmet, wore that around the house pretty much all day. Was it a case when you got your first set of pads in your helmet that you, just for the sheer weirdness of having that stuff on you, did you have to spend a decent chunk of time getting used to it, or did you throw it on and off and go, okay, grand, I can put on, get on with this down the road?
No, once I got it all, I had it on as much as I could, because just to kind of get used to that big shell. And as I said, it's like somewhat like hurling, but it's more round and it's heavy. So getting used to that, and then the pads, just your range of motion. Thankfully, as kickers, we don't have to wear, you know, the massive pads the lads wear that have taken contact. But no, it does take getting used to it. Like, and especially now, we're training here most days, it's, you know, 30 plus degrees Celsius, so it's, you become very aware of them. But to be honest, in the heat of the moment, in terms of kicking, I don't really notice them that much. But just lugging them around, and then like trying to get lads to help me put them on and things like that, I'm still learning tricks of the trade in that regard. You can always tell the Irish fellow over the sideline, he has two people helping me get the stuff on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a different world.
On the coaching side of things, like, I know you had a decent old hoof on you, like you could, you know, kick the ball about 60 odd yards. But in terms of approach and how you go about all that kind of stuff, were they trying to knock bad habits out of you? Were they trying to pick up on stuff that they thought you did well that you can build upon? What was the kind of coach building towards you being a kicker?
Yeah. So initially, it was like things were moving pretty quick, because if you're getting good foot to ball contact, regardless of the angle or amount of steps you take leading up to it, you know, if you're getting that piece of the puzzle right, you're going to have pretty decent outcomes. But then once I got more and more into this, you start to realize, okay, now in a real game scenario, you have 1.2, 1.3 seconds between the ball being snapped, you know, so the guy throwing it between his legs back to the holder who catches it, who then places it for me to kick. 1.2, 1.3 seconds. That's rapid. Like, the margin for error, there isn't. You're a split second off and you're getting blocked. So that was a huge thing I had to learn with the rugby, taking four steps back and four to the side. You can't do that here, because you want to take too long. So I have to change up things like that. There's certain things we do in rugby that are, I'd be deemed an unorthodox kicker, meaning I'm kind of more comfortable kicking a little bit more with my hips towards the sideline, it's kicking and punting, which would be more like kicking a Gaelic football. A lot of time your kind of hips a little bit sidewards, which a lot of the coaches wouldn't advise that, just because the American guys are a lot more robotic. If you ever watch them, you know, their style is very square to the ball, which is just weird. For me, it's again, I think playing Gaelic football and rugby, we didn't really kick it like that ever. So I had to try and adjust that a little bit, but they recognized that the way I was doing it, the ball was going, you know, the main thing is A, getting it high enough, because you have a 6'8" Olympic level athlete 8 yards away from you who's jumping. So you got to get it up over him as well. So first thing is getting it high enough, and then obviously getting it straight. And I was doing that. So thankfully they didn't try and change too much. If I was younger, they probably would have, but thankfully I didn't have to go down that road too much. But it's the timing is everything in this.
And with that in mind, essentially it's not just up to you, like with the person snapping, the person holding, and then you as a unit have to be working in absolute lockstep.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really appreciate, you know, watching lads kick, or watching a bit of football, and the guy would miss a kick, you know, I'd often think, I reckon I could score that, or, you know, you have those thoughts just even before I knew anything about football. But now being in this environment, you realise, yeah, like if your snapper takes 0.7 or 0.75 of a second, now he's taken 0.5 of a second or 0.05 of a second off of me, which, as I said, in the grand scheme of things, if you take 1.34 seconds, you're probably getting blocked. And I found it hard to wrap my head around that, like thinking 0.02, 0.03 of a second, like what? Is that how much of a difference really? But it's absolutely huge. So yeah, you have to have huge trust in them, because essentially, you know, from once the call goes, I'm back in my stance and I kind of do what I need to do. And then once I'm ready to go and I give that nod, when the ball is passed, when the ball's snapped back, I'm approaching a ball that, you know, isn't set yet, isn't on the ground yet. So it's only that last step into the ball where that ball is, you know, firmly on the ground. And then I like the ball leaned a little bit, which means my holder has to try and put a little bit of angle, a bit of an angle on it, whilst also the laces on the football, getting the laces of the ball kind of away from my foot, because you don't want to kick that. So yeah, the margin, like the timing and the trust you have to have in those lads is huge. So you, whilst all the big lads are off running their routes or doing the defensive stuff, we're kind of over in the sideline, just keep repping out that timing, because as I've learned in training, you're off by the smallest of margins and some fella's getting his hand to it.
Is it important then to build those kind of personal relationships? Because the thing you always see about American football is it's like it's offense and defense, and you've got people sitting on the sideline essentially for half the game, yada, yada, yada. But the reality of it is that you need to be really simpatico with everything that's going on around you, and that you need to be with those three people especially, able to get on with them and able to convey what you need from your snapper, from your placer, to get the job done.
Yeah, yeah, we spend it's different because, yeah, coming from rugby, you know, everyone's very connected on the team, unless you split to backs and forwards. You know, beyond that, most of the drills you're doing, whether it's like breakdown or whatever, it's passing, tackling, you know, you're usually together and the team's mixed, like backs and forwards, everyone's in the same boat. Whereas here, it's very much three separate teams: offense, defense, and special teams. So you don't have the same connection with, you know, the way you'd have a connection with lads in the rugby team with most guys. You can't really have that here because there's just too many. There's too many guys to have that. So as you said, just for me, it's all about, you know, the snapper and holder. So we're going for coffees together, we're going for breakfast, and things like that, and just becoming good mates with them. But just, you know, so it makes it easier in the game, because the first game when the coach shouted out field goal, and I'm sitting down there drinking my water and just watching, you know, things get pretty chaotic pretty quickly. And especially you have, like, I think at the time we had like 20 seconds to get on, get everything done and get our kickoff before the clock ran out. So having complete trust with those two lads, the snapper and holder, is critical, because if you don't, you're going to hesitate, and if you hesitate, you're blocked. So it's in that regard, you just don't have time really to question it.
Or worse still, you might have to get involved in some tackling, some, you know, 400 pound monster.
Yeah, that was actually my biggest surprise when I came. Again, rugby lads, you know, big lads. But yeah, when I went into my first team meeting here, I was like, whoa, this is different. Like, just absolute massive, massive, massive men. But then again, you know, like, they only have to, you know, move 3 or 4 yards and they're play on, play off kind of thing. But just the sheer size of some of these guys, you know, I've never felt so small.
In terms of, like the processes of it seem to be something that appeals to you. Can you see yourself as a kicking coach down the line?
Yeah, actually, I definitely can. I've learned so much, and more than likely, I see myself going back to, you know, from a rugby perspective, maybe coaching like the rugby and rugby kickers or something like that. Who knows? But I've learned the amount of detail that we go into here from a kicking perspective in football is way more than what I've done in rugby, just because, you know, in rugby, it's just one person, at least from a place kicking perspective, it's one person. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's not a specific coach just for that. There might be a kicking coach, but whereas here, you know, as a specialist, that's all we do. So obviously, there's just a lot more that goes into it. So I've learned a lot. So yeah, definitely, if I can, and as you kind of alluded to earlier, I spent a lot of money trying to get all that information. So if I can help someone else down the line, I have to go down that rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
And make it all the better.
You're with the Aviators at the moment. I believe they're based out of Indianapolis. In the Spring League, which for a lot of people, one way or the other, could be viewed as purgatory. Some people would want to, you know, they're taking time, they've been in an NFL franchise, they've worked their way back down, they could be looking to get back up again. What are you looking to get out of being a Spring League player?
Yeah, so just exposure, experience and exposure. I think, you know, the name of the game within the league here is just, you know, everyone's trying to accumulate their footage, because NFL camps are getting underway now, so, you know, they can have 90 people on the rosters. So everyone's all about exposure. So that's huge. But then for me, obviously, not having ever played ever, so obviously experience is a big thing as well for me. So just trying to learn, because as I said, the games are so long. The first game, I was sitting on the sideline for I think like an hour and 20 minutes before I got my opportunity, which is just before the end of the first half. And it's just trying to get used to, you know, you're just sitting down drinking water, looking in the stands, trying to detach from the game a little bit. That's what some of the advice that I've been given is, don't get too involved, too like emotional about it all. Just try and do your own thing. So I'm just kind of off. If everyone is on one side of the field, I'm the other side of the field, just sitting down, drinking my water. But you know, trying to get the experience point of view is knowing when your number is called, you're up quickly, you're getting your helmet on, and then you're just trying to get on the field, get your marking, get your line, connect with your holder, all those kind of things. That the only way I can learn it is by doing. So experience is huge, and then keep getting good experience, and then obviously on the back of that, keep accumulating good film. We're halfway through the season. I think tonight's our fourth game. So tonight plus two more to go, and then I'm hoping that I would have, because I kind of at the start, I was able to reach out to some teams and two agents. People kind of looked at me and could see I was a good kicker, but obviously having never kicked before, there's naturally enough this hesitancy, especially in the NFL. They say it stands for not for long. So if you're a scout, if you were to bring in this Irish fella who's played rugby and I go in there and miss two or three kicks in training camp, he might get fired, which right. is just ridiculous. But that's just the level of it is. So at least now that I've put together some tape and stuff, I'd be hoping that some doors might open for me in the near future. And thankfully now, I initially just started off kicking, which is my place kicking and taking the kickoffs. But I've got a good opportunity now. Last week I started punting in the games, in the warm-up. Our punter went down and the coach asked, "Had you punted?" I just kind of nodded my head as if I was saying yes, but obviously I have not punted before. But I didn't want to tell them too much in case they'd hesitate to give me the job. And anyway, it went well. So now I've kind of added that to my skill set, say. So I'm hoping that makes me more attractive as well.
So essentially you're putting together, for want of a better term, showreels in all of this.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the name of the league really for the most part. As you said, it's guys that have out of the league, they want to get back in and need to show their fit. Maybe it could be injury. A lot of guys, actually, that's the reason why they lost their contract. So showing that they're fit and healthy and ready to go. Every day as well, there's one or two guys getting a call in the hotel to leave to go to an NFL team. So it's just constant guys getting called here. The team we're playing tonight lost one of their best players early this morning because he got signed by the Titans, I think. So it's constant moving moving parts here. So I'm just trying to get that exposure, and then hopefully I can jump on that train and see where it takes me.
But it shows that all of that can happen quite quickly.
The more lads I chat to, you realize that you can get that call at any moment. Or as I experienced, I was actually the Spring League has a team in Houston. I was with the team in Houston, but I wanted to get traded here to Indianapolis. And I was sitting down having my breakfast at 7 a.m. and by 8:30 a.m. I was on a plane here to Indianapolis. So there's that side of it as well, how quickly things can change and you get traded and moved around cities. So you just have to be I feel for my girlfriend at times because, she's saying, what's next? And the answer is, I don't know. And God knows where we're going to be. But you just kind of have to roll with the punches in that regard. But again, it's exciting. It's cool. Like, what a unique thing I'm getting to do. So I'm just trying to take it all in my stride, really.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable, the journey you've been on so far, and the one that could lie in wait over the course of the next, who knows, 3 weeks, 3 years. I'm sure, Tig, at some point we're going to have to stop by again and catch up with you and see where you end up, because judging by the last few years, it could be anywhere, and God willing, it will be in the NFL. Tig Leader, thank you so much, and best of luck tonight as well.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Good chatting.
Cheers, Tig. There you go. That's Tig Leader, who is off playing with the Indianapolis Aviators. And remarkable stuff. Rugby coverage on Off the Ball. Sounds a bit weird to be talking rugby after it's such a big American football chap. Rugby coverage on Off the Ball is brought to you with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. Plenty still to come tonight. We'll be talking football after 9 o'clock with Nicky Bandini and with Martin Lipton. And we'll be checking in with the Football Pod next.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.